Next case is 05-622, State of Ohio versus Andre Battle. Mr. Gilbert.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. This case presents three propositions of law. The first proposition concerns whether the seriousness of an offender's conduct can alone justify consecutive sentences, or whether consecutive sentences have to also be justified by the danger the offender poses to the public. The second and third propositions of law apply to sentence-finding statutes in general and concerned what constitutes a valid finding. With respect to the first proposition of law, the 10th District below misconstrued section 2929.14(e)(4) as requiring trial courts to find both that consecutive sentences are not disproportionate to the seriousness of the offender's conduct and not disproportionate to the danger the offender poses to the public.
Excuse me, counsel. I noticed in the brief that there was no citation to the Blakely decision out of the U.S. Supreme Court and Booker as well. Did you consider the application of those Supreme Court cases on your argument here?
The defendant actually filed a supplemental assignment of error in the 10th District raising the Blakely issue, and that issue was briefed in the 10th District. The 10th District never reached the Blakely issue, and the state has proceeded in this appeal as the Blakely issue not being ripe for review yet.
All right, thank you.
And if this case is remanded, that's one thing the 10th District will have to consider for the first instance. The proper construction of 2929.14(e)(4) and the construction that furthers the General Assembly's intent as codified in 2929.11 is to read the word "and" as accumulating the factors that a trial court considers in making a single, not disproportionate finding. That statute, 2929.11, requires that all felony sentences be reasonably calculated to achieve the two overriding purposes of felony sentencing, which are to protect the public and punish the offender. So under that framework, a low score on either one of those factors cannot trump the need for a trial court to address the other factor. So in those situations when an offender's conduct is so serious that consecutive sentences is the only way to adequately punish that offender, 2929.11 would require the trial court to impose consecutive sentences, regardless of whether the danger the offender poses to the public also justifies consecutive sentences. The 10th District's dual finding approach, however, creates a conflict between 2929.14(e)(4) and 2929.11. In the scenario I just described, when an offender's conduct is so serious that the only adequate punishment is consecutive sentences, requiring a trial court to also find that consecutive sentences are not disproportionate to the danger the offender poses to the public prevents the trial court from adequately punishing that offender, and thus prevents the trial court from complying with 2929.11. In this case, turning to the facts of this sentencing hearing, the 10th District acknowledged that the trial court found that consecutive sentences were not disproportionate to the seriousness of the defendant's conduct. Properly construing 2929.14(e)(4) as requiring only a single not disproportionate finding, that finding complied with the statute. Because if consecutive sentences are not disproportionate to seriousness, then they are, by definition, also not disproportionate to seriousness and dangerousness combined. And for that reason alone, that the 10th District's judgment should be reversed. I'll briefly speak on the state's second and third propositions of law. Even if the statute does require dual not disproportionate findings, the trial court made both findings in this case. It's significant that the statute uses the word "finds" instead of some other word like "notify" or "state" or "say." This court in Edmondson decided about 6 or 7 years ago, said that the word finds means that a trial court has to note that it engaged in the proper statutory analysis. And while the Comer decision requires that the findings be made verbally at the hearing, Edmondson directs courts to focus on the substance of the analysis, not on the semantics of the trial court's phraseology. And that furthers the General Assembly's intent here also, because the intent of the finding statutes is to provide meaningful review of a trial court's sentencing decision. In this case, the trial court said, this is on page 5 of the sentencing transcript, it's also quoted on page 13 of the state's brief, consecutive terms are needed to protect the public. This statement shows that the trial court engaged in the proper, not disproportionate to dangerousness analysis. So essentially, the record was ready for the 10th District to then engage in the meaningful review that the General Assembly intended. But instead of meaningfully reviewing the trial court's sentencing decision, the 10th District reversed, apparently because it felt that the trial courts should have said not disproportionate to danger instead of saying needed to protect, even though the two statements are conceptually identical and evince the exact same analysis. Or although the 10th District never said so, perhaps it maybe felt that the trial court should have said needed to protect twice, even though uttering the same words, essentially the same words over and over again, doesn't make a trial court's analysis any more sufficient, doesn't make the record any more complete, and doesn't make meaningful review any easier.
However, that's what the statute currently says, shall find, and makes those specific statements so that this 10th District was parsing the statute word for word and looking to see if the trial judge had stated it word for word, correct?
Right. The 10th District apparently engaged in a semantical review looking for precise magic words. What the 10th District should have done was look at the trial court's analysis. And I acknowledge that for some reason the General Assembly, when it drafted this statute, made the findings overlap significantly and in some cases made the findings conceptually identical. I think the issue then is, did the General Assembly really intend to require trial courts to say the same thing over and over again in order to impose consecutive sentences? And the state's position here is that because the General Assembly used the word find, and also because the purpose of the statute is to create a record for meaningful review, it doesn't serve any purpose, and the statute doesn't require the trial court to utter essentially the same phrase over and over again.
It would be simpler, would it not, if the legislature had stated the court is to give its reasons or the court shall explain how it exercises its discretion?
Yeah.
The statute doesn't currently say it that way.
The statute requires the court to make certain findings explaining why it imposed consecutive sentences, and then 29219B2C then gives the separate requirement that the trial court gives specific reasons, which in the state's view requires the trial court to give specific reference to evidence in the record or specific reference to information elicited at the sentencing hearing or in the PSI or if one is prepared or whatever. But it would have been easier for the General Assembly just to say, explain your decision. Yeah, it would have been easier, but the General Assembly instead chose to require these findings. And but because the General Assembly used the word finds, it's the analysis that matters, not whether the trial court articulates it the precise way or not.
In your view, are the two terms distinct or together, findings and reasons?
Well, this court in Edmondson, and again reiterated in Comer, that there are two separate and distinct requirements. However, I do think there are situations where a single statement can satisfy both requirements, because sometimes a trial court can show its analysis while at the same time giving specific reference to evidence in the record or evidence in the PSI or whatever.
So the findings become the statutory statement within the statute currently. The reasons are the rationale for the sentence.
The findings would be The findings basically require the trial court to show that it's imposing the particular sentence, in this case consecutive sentence, because of a statutorily sanctioned reason, because you're addressing the need to protect or because you're addressing the need to punish. The reasons requirement, as I interpret the statute and this court's Edmondson and Comer decisions, the reasons requirement then requires the trial court to give specific reference to specific information in the record, either evidence at trial, evidence at the plea hearing, the PSI, victim impact statement, so on and so forth. But while there are two separate and distinct requirements, and satisfying one doesn't always necessarily mean satisfying the other, I do think that a single statement, if phrased the right way, can simultaneously satisfy both the findings and the reasons requirements. Unless the court has any further questions, I ask the judgment to be reversed. Thank you very much.
Appellee has not filed a brief, so waives oral argument. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.